Good morning. When I was growing up, I am the middle child. I have an older brother who's 3 years older than me, and then I have a younger brother who's 7 years younger. And if you can imagine at all, there was a lot of fighting that went on in our home between siblings. Anyone else relate to that? Anyone else's children fight all the time? I remember my mother, especially with my older brother and I, her goal, my mother is a quiet peacemaker. She does not like conflict. In fact, she avoids it at all cost, which I think is where I get that is from her. And so my older brother and I would get in these monumentous fights. And the way in which she would have us reconcile or stop fighting, because I don't know that she really cared if we actually got along. She just didn't want to hear us bickering, right? She would sit us down at the kitchen table, and until we came to the same story, we were not allowed to get up, right? I would come in, and I would say, Mom, Patrick did whatever. And he would say, no, Cassie did this. And so she would say, until you all have the exact same story, you can't get up. Now, what I came to realize later was the truth never came out. It was always just Patrick's version of the story, right? Because when we would sit down at the table, he would say, I'm going to kick your butt if you don't tell Mom the version of the story that I want. So often in the brokenness of our relationships, the resolution to them isn't actually peace and reconciliation. It's just a rubber stamp that allows us to move on and escape the conflict. This morning, we enter into the book of Genesis. And we're going to read quite a bit of scripture this morning because I think just plucking out the few verses that I'm preaching on might confuse us a little bit. So we're going to read a little bit more of the story. But we come to this place in scripture where we have these two brothers, Jacob and Esau. I'm sure you've heard of them, yeah? Not that Jacob, right? The other Jacob. And they come to this point of reconciliation. But Jacob has to face this great fear to be able to say he's sorry to his brother. And I think this morning, part of our job as Christians is not to just smooth things over with those with whom we are in conflict, but truly get down to the deep heart of the issue and try to restore ourselves, to practice true forgiveness and love, even in the midst of great conflict, and perhaps even with those which we might hate or call our enemy. So let's dive into Genesis. We're going to be reading from Genesis 33 here in just a moment. But I want to back up to the beginning of the story of Esau and Jacob. And it begins in Genesis 25. I'm not going to read, you know, 8 chapters this morning because it's a lot of story. But there are a few places I want to highlight. So if you want to turn with me, if you want to follow along, you can, but I'm going to be in Genesis 25 here for just a moment. If you're worshiping online, there is a link that will go up to take you to our scripture reading for today, but like I said, I'm going to be bouncing around a little bit, so I'll let you know when we get to our text for this morning. So in Genesis 25, we hear about the birth of Jacob and Esau. And I'm going to start in verse 27. It says, the children struggled together with her. And this is when Rebecca is pregnant with these twin boys. And she says, if it is to be this way, why do I even live? So she went to inquire of the Lord. And the Lord said to her, two nations are in your womb. And two peoples born of you shall be divided, and one shall be stronger than the other. The elder shall serve the younger. When it was her time to give birth, there were two twins in her womb. The first came out red. All his body was like a hairy mantle. And so they named him Esau. And afterwards, his brother came out with his hand gripping Esau's heel. And so his name was Jacob. Isaac was 60 years old when Rebekah bore them. We have these two brothers, these twin brothers, who are already in conflict before they are even born, right? Their mother, Rebekah, it says, is barren before she gets pregnant with her boys. So there's already conflict there, right? She even struggles to conceive them. And so they are wrestling around, and Rebekah goes to God, and God says, these two boys, they're going to be two nations. They're going to be at conflict with one another. How things are supposed to go, like the oldest being the one who gets the birthright and the blessing, yeah, that's not going to happen. The older one is going to serve the younger one. So from the very beginning, we hear that they are at conflict. So they grow up, and Esau becomes kind of a hunter, right? And after they grow, we get this story about their birthright. It says in verse 29 of chapter 25, "Once when Jacob was cooking some stew, Esau came in from the field, and he was famished. Esau said to Jacob, 'Let me eat some of that red stuff, for I am famished.' Jacob said, 'First, sell me your birthright.'" It seems strange, right? He's out in the field working, and he's hungry. He comes in, he says, "Hey, bro, give me some of that grub you got." And he's like, "Before I feed you, give me your birthright." And Esau said, "I'm about to die. What use is my birthright to you?" And Jacob said, "Swear it to me first." So he swore it to him, and he sold his birthright to Jacob. They're at conflict in the womb, and when they grow up and become adults, they're in conflict still. Jacob demands that Esau sell him his birthright, and so he does. We read on a few more chapters, and we get this story in chapter 27, and this is kind of long. But we hear at the beginning of chapter 27, it says, when Isaac, their dad, when he was old and his eyes were dim so that he could not see, he called to his son Esau, and he wanted to give him a blessing. You all know this story, right? So he says, you know, "Go out and come back, and when you do, I'll give you your blessing." Well, Rebekah, it says she loved Jacob more. She devises this plan to trick her husband so that instead of him giving his blessing to Esau, his blessing goes to Jacob instead. And so it says that Jacob, you know, disguises himself to look like his brother. We know his brother's super hairy, right? And so he makes it seem like he has a lot of hair too. So when his father, who can't see, touches him, he thinks that it's really Esau. And so the blessing that was reserved for the eldest, it goes to Jacob instead. Conflict once again. And so at this point in the story, Esau is so mad, he's so angry with his brother, that Jacob flees. Rebekah says, "You better go. Wait until your brother calms down and forgets all the terrible things that you've done, and then maybe you can reconcile." For the next few chapters in Genesis, we get more of the story of Jacob. But finally, when we come to our text for this morning, the brothers meet once again. And so right before this, Jacob, he wants to reconcile with his brother. And so he plans to send him a whole bunch of gifts. And so he sends his servants out, and he says, we've delivered the gifts that you've sent, but he's coming. He's coming with 400 men. Now I want you to imagine for a moment being in Jacob's shoes. He has stolen his brother's birthright. He has deceived his father into giving him his brother's blessing. His brother is so angry that he wants to kill him. And so he sends him some gifts, and what he hears back is 400 men are coming. What do you think Jacob feels? Scared, right? He is trembling in his boots. He does not know what is about to happen next, but it's probably not good. So Jacob goes out to meet his brother. And right before he meets his brother, we get that great story in the Bible where he wrestles with a man at night, right? You remember that story? And there's a lot of commentary around what exactly is happening in that story. But a lot of people conclude that he's wrestling with God, right? That God is waking him up, because at the end of that story, after he wrestles all night long with this man who's not identified, Jacob says, "I have seen God face to face, and yet my life has been preserved." So that's a whole lot of backstory, right? That's where we come to this morning when we read this text. So if you want to read along with me, I'm going to be in Genesis 33, and we're reading 1 through 11. It says, "Now Jacob looked up and saw Esau coming and about 400 men with him. So he divided his children among Leah and Rachel and two maids. He put the maids with their children in front, and then he put Leah with her children and Rachel and Joseph last of all. He himself went on ahead of them, bowing himself to the ground seven times until he came near his brother. But Esau ran to meet him and embraced him and fell on his neck and kissed him, and they wept. When Esau looked up and saw the women and children, he said, 'Who are these with you?' Jacob said, 'The children whom God has graciously given to me, your servant.' The maids drew near, they and their children, and bowed down. Leah likewise and her children drew near and bowed down. And finally, Joseph and Rachel drew near, and they bowed down. Esau said, 'What do you mean by all this company that I have met?' Jacob answered, 'To find favor with my Lord.' But Esau said, 'I have enough, my brother. Keep what you have for yourself.' Jacob said, 'No, please, if I find favor with you, then accept my present from my hand. For truly to see your face is like seeing the face of God, since you have received me with such favor. Please accept my gift that is brought to you, because God has dealt graciously with me and because I have everything I want.' So he urged him, and he took it." This is the word of God for the people of God. We enter in to this morning's text with Jacob lifting his eyes to the horizon and seeing Esau's tribe coming upon him. It says, Jacob looked up and he saw Esau coming and 400 men with him. With Esau in sight, I'm sure Jacob was trembling with terror as he remembered all of these sins that he had committed against his brother. It seemed for that moment, his fate was sealed. He was probably going to die, he thought. Sibling rivalry is not new to this story. It's explored throughout the entire book of Genesis from the very beginning, right? You remember Adam and Eve, they had two sons, Cain and Abel. That ended in murder, right? And then as we go on, we hear even Jacob's son, Joseph, right? He's in conflict with his brothers. That's so terrible, they sell him into slavery, right? Conflict between siblings is not new to the book of Genesis. I think it portrays this theme of sibling rivalry that because it wrestles with this question of how can we look upon another human being with whom God has given us as brother or sister and see them as the face of an enemy. Over and over and over again, God puts together these close-knit relationships, brother and brother, sister and sister, brother and sister. And instead of looking at each other as friends, as kin, they look at each other as enemies. Friends, God has given us kin that we may not be blood related to, right? But we are all brothers and sisters in Christ. And yet, over and over and over again, throughout history and even into our present life, those who we are supposed to call brother and sister, we look at as the enemy. We fight with them to our own demise. So we have a choice. Do we keep fighting or do we seek reconciliation? In this particular story, Joseph has to take full account for all he's done. He has to apologize for all of the wrongs that he has committed. He has to put his own life on the line, right? He doesn't know what's going to happen when he comes up on that hillside and he sees his brother coming with 400 men. He thinks he's toast. But he knows he has to do it. And I think part of the reason that Jacob has that courage to go and to see his brother is because of what happened the night before where he wrestled, right? It says he saw the face of God and he was saved. Friends, part of coming together and reconciling with one another means that we have to reconcile with God too. That we have to bow before God and confess where we have messed up. It is so easy to say, I'm perfect. Or, I didn't mean to do that. It's no big deal. But God demands of us that we confess. That we come before one another in Christian love and seek forgiveness and also forgive. As we look at Esau, it's incredible in this story. He's gone his whole life trying to get as much as he can, right? And at the moment his brother comes to him and he says, here, take all of these things that I'm trying to give you. There's a whole litany of stuff found in the biblical text. Esau doesn't take it. Esau says, no, I have enough. Some of us need to be like Jacob this morning. Some of us have wronged others, and we need to say, you know what, no matter what the cost, no matter if it hurts me or not, I need to try to reconcile. Some of us need to be like Esau this morning, recognizing that other people may have hurt us, they may have wronged us, and when they come to us begging for forgiveness, we could take from them, we could offer ultimatums. We could say, yeah, I'll forgive you if you do X, Y, or Z. Or we could be like Esau and say, no, I have enough. I just want to be in relationship with you. The story of Jacob and Esau is one that we should seek to live out. I do find it interesting that in the verses that follow, Esau, you know, tries to get his brother to come along with him. And Jacob says, no, I have all these kids and I need to take my time and all of these other things. And so they never really end up back at the place that they were before, but they find a new kind of reality. One of the things that I've found in my relationships, particularly ones in which trust is broken, is it's really hard to get back to the place you were before, right? Once you've been wronged, once someone has broken your trust, it's hard to be fully reconciled. Those scars are still there. There's still some sort of separation. But we're still called to live at peace with one another. From the very beginning of Jacob and Esau's relationship, God tells Rachel, these two sons in your womb, they're going to be two nations, right? They're going to live separately. But this story shows us that they can live apart, but also live at peace. To live in common community, to be separate, but to also be together. So as you think about this text this morning, I would invite you to think about who you might need to reconcile with. Who might, what relationships might be broken? Maybe it's people you're close to. Maybe it's someone you haven't, you know, talked to for 30 years. Or think about how might your actions have hurt another, even if you didn't intend to. You know, you don't have to steal people's birthright and their blessing for you to harm someone, right? Sometimes all it takes is an offhand comment or ignoring someone. But we are called to forgive and to ask for forgiveness. Let's pray. Holy God, we give you thanks for your word, for showing us over and over again where people that we call brother and sister are often seen as enemy. God, we know that when you sent your son to save us, you wanted to reconcile our relationship with you, but also our relationship with each other. God, let us be peacemakers today. Let us ask for forgiveness where it is necessary. And let us forgive without expectation. We pray this in your holy and blessed name. Amen.